This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Starting KER Politics, I have a very interesting gentleman who is an expert in truth and in fake news. He is a professor at Ohio State University. His name is Dr. Gleb Sapolsky. Gleb, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you are considered not only by the folks at Ohio State, but by most people in general as being an expert in being able to ascertain what's fake news and what isn't.
Sure. So, thank you, first of all, for having me on the show, Al. Really appreciate it. My expertise lies in decision-making, how people make decisions. Now, in order to make decisions, you need to get accurate information. So that's kind of the focus of decision-making that I specialize in. How do we get information, trustworthy, credible information? As human beings, we're all humans. We all try to get information to make our decisions, including about what to believe on politics, business, all areas of life. Unfortunately, with the rise of social media, it makes it very hard to discern what is actually true or not. And so my research concerns how do we as human beings prevent the spread of misinformation and actually develop accurate true beliefs. In order to further that end, I founded the ProTruth Pledge at protruthpledge.org, which is a project to fight the spread of misinformation and incivility. That's kind of a civic activism aspect of what I do.
Tell us how you can accomplish that, and I'm going to give you two very clear-cut examples of what I don't know what the truth is. But first of all, tell me in theory how you accomplish that.
Sure. So in theory and in fact, what research shows about how we as human beings tend to react to information is we react mainly emotion. So our initial gut reaction tends to determine how we feel about the information. Unfortunately, our gut often leads us in the wrong direction because of our previous beliefs. There's a psychological phenomenon called confirmation bias, where we tend to look at information, search for information that confirms our beliefs, and also whatever information comes in, we tend to ignore information that doesn't conform to our beliefs. A way to address confirmation bias is to make a pre-commitment to truth-oriented behaviors. So there's a lot of research showing that this kind of pre-commitment, when you say, okay, I'm going to be really oriented toward truth, toward the facts above all, that sort of pre-commitment helps fight these gut reactions that lead us in the wrong direction. And the ProTruth Pledge, ProTruthPledge.org, is a set of 12 behaviors. So for listeners who are on their computer, you can go to ProTruthPledge.org and check out these behaviors. They're things like fact-check information to confirm it's true before accepting and sharing it. Acknowledge when others share true information, even when you disagree otherwise, so people on the other side. Reevaluate if your information is challenged and retract it if you can't verify it. Ask people who are your allies to retract information that reliable sources have disproved, and then celebrate those who retract incorrect statements and update their beliefs toward the truth. And seven more behaviors like this. Very clear, truth-oriented behaviors. So research shows that when we make a commitment like this to truth-oriented behaviors, we are going to fight these good intuitions. And indeed, we've conducted research indicating that the ProTruth Pledge works in addressing the sharing of misinformation on social media. We can talk about that. But that's very broadly what the ProTruth Pledge is about and how it works. And
okay, I got a real simple question for you. Now,
sure.
I obviously fact-check to the best of my ability everything that we talk about on this show.
Wonderful.
And yet I have people who I consider to be very bright people who tell me that I am basically spreading fake news. Now, let me give you a couple of examples.
Mm-hmm.
One of the examples, it has to do with the recent situation in Gaza. Now, if you talk to somebody who's pro-Israel, you get one story. And if you talk to somebody who is pro-Palestinian, for lack of better terms, you get another story. Now, we are putting together a program that will air in a couple of weeks, and we're having two people on that show. One of them is obviously a pro-Israeli, and the other one is an anti-Israeli. Now, the pro-Israeli, as an example, says, when I ask the question, and again, this hasn't aired yet, it will air in a couple of weeks, the pro-Israeli says, in fact, folks who were shot when they were theoretically causing a problem at the border in Gaza were not a friendly group of peaceful demonstrators. They were a group of people who were very aggressive, and they were attempting to get into the country of Israel illegally. To me, that makes some sense. I can't imagine shooting somebody in the back just for the hell of it. That doesn't make any sense to me. And I find it interesting that an Israeli soldier would even do that in the first place. How do you determine whether or not that's fake news on the part of the pro-Israeli or whether it isn't?
Excellent question. So in cases where we don't know and we have insufficient information to say, we can clearly state that this is my opinion, this seems most likely to be true, this may or may not be true. So using qualifiers rather than stating this is true or this is not true. If there is clearly no insufficient information to determine the case, then stating that something is definitely true is, in fact, a deception, a lie. So let's go to the dictionary definition of lies. A lie is a deliberate intent to mislead.
Right.
So let's say there's insufficient information to know whether the people, the Palestinians, were coming in peacefully or not peacefully. There's completely insufficient information. We have no idea. And somebody on one side says they were definitely coming in peacefully, you know, rah, rah, rah. And somebody on the other side says they were definitely coming in violently, rah, rah, rah. Neither of them can demonstrate with sufficient evidence that their point is correct. So they're
But I have a question that's really important to me, Gleb. And that question is, I've been doing radio for a long time, and let me tell you, you get somebody who is very opinionated in one area, and they always believe it's true, and they always come up with some kind of proof, and you have somebody who's the opposite who does exactly the same thing. How do you tell what is really true? I mean, it strikes me that the only way you're going to know what's really true because of the word interpretation, the only way you're going to know is if you were actually there, and then you can give your interpretation.
So let's talk a little about what it means to know what is really true.
Yes.
There are some things that we can see with our senses. You know, we can concretely observe with our senses. You know, we can see, let's say, if we have a thermometer outside, we can see, okay, it's 70 degrees outside. That's an accurate statement to the extent that we trust our senses. Now, there's an interpretation of that temperature that says that's too hot, or there's an interpretation that says it's too cold. Neither of those are a true statement, that it's too hot or too cold. It's a true statement for you. It might be too cold for you. It might be too hot for another person. Those are opinions. What you can observe with your eyes and senses, that's kind of relatively as factual as it can get, right? Somebody might be screwing, and maybe it's actually 60 degrees, and they could turn the thermometer so it shows 70. But realistically speaking, we're assuming that you can trust your senses sufficiently for this purpose. So you can look at your senses. You can look at video made of the Palestinian protests. You can look at what various people are saying who don't have a stake in the game, so who don't have a bone in the fight, in other words. And so you can see, okay, you know, these are neutral observers, and you need to find some neutral observers and see what they're saying. So that gives somewhat weaker evidence than direct eye view, direct videos. That's another piece of evidence. So you gather sufficient evidence to make a statement, okay, this is very highly likely to be true. And then that's the statement that you can make. Whereas saying that, well, because I believe that Palestinians are in general peaceful, therefore they must have been peaceful, and that is a statement that is deliberately intended to deceive, or
right,
a statement that the Israelis are generally peaceful, therefore they would not have ever shot at, you know, kind of at Palestinians unless Palestinians were violent. That's another statement that's intended to deceive. That's a propagandistic statement. So both of those kinds of statements would be deliberate intents to deceive and therefore lies.
Yeah. Gleb, I got to take a real quick break here, not because I want to, because we're going to have to continue this in the next segment. Our various stations have to take a commercial break, but I've got some really very pointed questions to ask you about this in the next segment. Gleb, thank you so much. We're going to be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. I'm chatting with Dr. Gleb Sikorsky. Gleb is a professor at PhD, obviously professor at Ohio State University. He deals in the truth, fake news, etc., etc., and he has a PhD in that study. Gleb, I have a couple of questions from you. For you, as an example, let's take the question of the Clinton family, okay? And this has nothing to do with your opinion or my opinion. It's sure. simply is in the news. Now, you can read numerous books in the nonfiction category about Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. And in those books, you're going to get very, very negative reporting about both those people. You can also be aware of the fact that supposedly the Clintons are, in fact, very violent people, and folks have been killed because they have given the order, for lack of better terms. The only thing that I'm aware of that's been proven in a derogatory sense about any member of the Clinton family is, number one, in terms of Hillary, James Comey did come out and say she was very careless in handling her emails. Other people would jump on that and they would say she broke the law. And then in terms of Bill Clinton and his morals, people would say that, well, you know, he's a womanizer, et cetera, et cetera. He was never fit for high political office. The only thing we know for an absolute fact, in my mind, is he did have sex with a very young intern when he was in the White House. Now, I think you can see the conundrum that we're running into here. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that, Gleb?
So, one thing is to, as you pointed out correctly, look at what's actually proven, what's actually clearly factual, and the rest of the stuff say, you know, hey, these are opinions, some people believe this, some people believe that, it's not actually proven. So that's kind of a very clear way that is aligned with the Pro-Truth Pledge, which I mentioned, protruthpledge.org. One of the crucial behaviors is distinguish between my opinion and the facts.
Right.
So say, here are the facts, and here's my opinion on the facts, and here are some other rumors, and so on. So you want to qualify the kind of information it is. Now, you also want to be quite careful about how you define terms. So, for example, there was a study done on the school shootings before the Parkland school shooting, and there was a gun control organization, kind of, you know, that was anti-gun rights organization, every town in USA that said that there were 18 school shootings before the Parkland school shooting. Now, when you actually look at the evaluation of what they considered school shooting, they included any time that a gun was discharged on school premises, including when somebody just discharged a gun on school premises after it was closed, with an accidental discharge in a school that was closed for about 6 months already. So obviously, that's not what people talk about when they think about school shootings. That's not the image that rises in your head. So what the Pro-Truth Pledge defines as misinformation, that's anything that conveys information in an obviously deceptive way that leads people to have a fundamentally wrong impression of the facts. And this is an example with every town USA, that's an example of a fundamentally wrong impression of the facts. Or with Bill Clinton, when he was saying that he didn't have sex with that woman. Now, we all know what sex means, and Bill Clinton was not using a commonly accepted definition of the term sex when he was lying into the Congress about that. So that is a lie. That is a deception. It was a deliberate intent to mislead. So this is what we want to focus on. When is a statement a deliberate intent to mislead?
You know, it strikes me, unfortunately, at this moment in our conversation, that we're kind of up in the air in the sense. I mean, let's go back to the situation, for example, let's go back to Syria. You know, I have a number of emails from listeners who are saying the inspectors who have gone in since the president shot missiles into Syria have stated that beyond a doubt no gas was used in an antagonistic manner by the Syrian government. Who's right and who's wrong, then? I don't know. I'm not an expert in chemical warfare.
Right. So you don't know. And that's exactly what you should say. You're making a great and very accurate statement that you don't know what the actual facts are. You can only present, here's what some people said, you know, the inspectors who have some credibility, and here is what the Trump administration said, which has some credibility as well. and that's all you can determine. So from the perspective of the pro-truth pledge, you can't make a definitive statement accurately on this matter, whether there was definitely a gas attack by the Syrian government, by al-Assad, against someone or not. You could say that the facts are unclear, so here is what we know, and that's what you got to put it out there. You know, a lot of people are quite uncomfortable with the lack of, you know, definition, with the lack of clarity. They only want black and white thinking. They want to say this is the case or this is the case. There's no in between. There's no spectrum. Whereas in reality, life is messy. Life is complex. There are many things you don't know. And it's very important for us as human beings to admit that and not to say, you know, it has to be all black and white. Either the al-Assad government is all evil or all good. We don't know. So that's the only way we can approach reality, is by acknowledging and being humble about our insufficient knowledge and only make factual statements and limit them to the specific situations where they are factual.
But Gleb, what's factual for one person may be false for another person. I mean, let's give, for example, let's go back to the example of Gaza. Okay, a pro-Israeli is going to say the Arabs were not peaceful. They were very aggressive, and they did attempt to illegally enter Israel. Now, the pro-Palestinian is going to say, they didn't. That never happened. That's a lie. And shooting the demonstrators who were peaceful was a terrible act of humanity. Mm-hmm. I guess. And what do you do? How do you deal with situations like that?
So as I mentioned before, we know from the current evidence that we don't know enough. We don't know enough to make a factual statement. So in both of those cases, you would say, hey, both of you guys are just trying to mislead us. You're both deceptive. You're both making false statements because you don't know enough to say that.
Credible information is also very important. Remember, you have to listen to both sides of every story. Just because somebody agrees with you doesn't mean that you're wrong and they're right.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Aging is one thing that affects everyone. George has talked about the power of stem cells for years. Now, there's a new serum that harnesses that stem cell power to bring back your youthful look. Beverly Hills doctor, Nathan Newman.
Stem cells are basically our fountain of youth. This is what maintains our body's reparative, regenerative abilities. As we age, every cell breaks down and needs to be replaced, and what replaces it is the stem cell.
Dr. Newman and Jeunesse have developed Lumines. CNS takes the science of stem cells using the same growth factor complex that literally heals our cells, slowing the appearance of the aging process. Apply Lumines twice daily and on average see results in a week. Learn more, watch our video, and order today at a special Coast website, healthylooking.com. Plus, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's healthylooking.com. Lumines, for a healthier, much younger, better-looking you. Buy now at healthylooking.com.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside our borders. At Miles Franklin, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Franklin is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box program in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid foundational storage, partnered with the most respected name in security, maintaining an A+ Better Business Bureau rating, and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Limited, a name you can trust.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990, this is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Continuing on with KER Politics, I want to say one thing. I have made some changes to KER Politics in the following way. Been getting an awful lot of, I don't want to say negative comments, but a lot of emotional comments because of some of the stances we take on KER Politics. And in light of that, I have decided to acquiesce to many of our listeners. A lot of our listeners have asked me to please talk a little bit about companies that I am personally invested in as I invest in them or de-invest in them. And so that's what I'm going to be doing from now on in probably one segment of KER Politics. My policy, as you all know, is whenever I'm going to buy a stock, I always will announce that on the program. But even more importantly, when I'm going to sell a stock, and all of my shares that happen to fall into this particular universe, everyone will adhere to this policy. Whenever I'm going to sell a stock, I will always give you 3 business days notice. Got my word on that, and it'll always happen on the air 3 business days prior to me making a sale. Having said that, I thought a little bit about the first company that I was going to chat about. And these are not necessarily sponsors. These are companies that I am personally writing checks for. You all know about Corvus Gold. I am a shareholder in Corvus Gold. None of my money for purchasing those shares came from fees. It all came out of my own pocket. Just today, Thursday, I also purchased over 25,000 shares in a company that used to be a sponsor, but they're not anymore. I'm under no obligation whatsoever to give coverage to this company. It's a company called New Legacy Gold. Why did I do that? Well, I did it purely and simply, number one, because Corey did some due diligence on the company, and Corey's due diligence has nothing to do with why I purchased the stock. And I also want to say my description has nothing to do with asking you to purchase or sell any shares in this particular company. I've known Albert Matter, who I'm chatting with right now, for an awful long time. I did some regulatory work for one of Albert's companies many, many years ago. He's an honorable individual. He's a very serious individual, and I've known his partner, James Anderson, for a number of years, and I personally can attest to their integrity. Having said that, New Legacy Gold has about $7 million Canadian in the bank right now. They are working on what they believe, there's a forward-looking statement, is a Carlin deposit, Carlin-type deposit. Albert, you want to comment on that first?
Yes. So far, we've got about 150 drill holes into the deposits with some modest good results, spreading over about 10 square miles of what we call the central mineralized zone, of the total of about 96 square miles of what we call the Red Hill property. And within that, we've got what we call the Avocado deposit, because the IP anomaly looks like an avocado, the Serena deposit, and we've got the North Central and South Iceberg deposits.
Okay, and you've got an excellent team, but your excellent team is also being, I would have to say, improved, if that's even possible. I know some of your guys right now, and they're fantastic, but you've also got a new member who is very, very familiar with Carlin-type deposits. Let's talk about him.
Yes, thank you, Al. We have got a good team, The fellow we enrolled recently, Charles Wheatley, is a former top gold finder for Barrick Gold. And it's been a real coup to get Charles aboard. We've had Charles aboard join us on January 1st of 2018. He was part of the Barrick team that discovered the gold rush in the Cortez trend. Before that, he helped expand the gold strike in the Carlin trend. He's directly credited with having helped find an excess of 10 million ounces of gold between those two trends. And he's highly regarded by the Barrick team. He's one of a handful, probably less than a dozen, of geologists that truly understand the nature and structure of these Carlin deposits. And we are truly fortunate to have him. And we have him because his former boss, Ed Cope, who became the director of New Legacy when he retired from Barrick, having been the vice president of North American Exploration for many years, he kept in touch with Charles. And recently, Charles had already been attracted to our property. He could literally view it from his work across the valley at the Gold Rush. But recently he was asked by Barrick to change roles and go from a generative role where he selects drill targets, etc., which he loves, in the Cortez, to doing some what you call post-generative work of modeling what's been discovered. And when Charles was confronted with that alternative, he chose to reach out to us, and we were fortunate enough to be able to attract him.
And so now he's on board, and that's great. I'm glad to hear that. Let's talk a little bit about the area in Nevada where you are actually working right now. Let's talk about infrastructure. Let's talk a little bit about season. I know the seasonality is virtually non-existent down there, but let's give our listeners a bit of an overview on the general environment that the properties are on.
Okay. I hate to contradict you, Al, but actually there's quite a seasonality. I've actually seen snow in Reno in June, but more recently...
How can you possibly contradict me?
And more recently, we had a 3-foot snowstorm in March. We were actually scheduled to begin drilling in March, but there was several storms went through there, just as you've had some severe storms in the east, and so we had to delay the startup. But the Red Hill property, it's dried out now, and we'll be starting here in the first week of May. But the Red Hill property is right next to three of Barrick's largest and most profitable mines, and its lowest cost mines. The Gold Rush, which I talked about as Charles having been part of, and the Cortez Hills, and the pipeline, which was discovered by our senior partner, Roger Dr. Steiniger, who's been a well-known Nevada and successful Nevada geologist as well for many years since he discovered the pipeline in 1989. So that's our location.
Let's talk a little bit about the management team. Talk about Danny and Frank and Michelle and yourself, obviously, and James.
Okay. Well, as you know, James is the CEO. James and I worked together years ago in the brokerage industry, and I was the first one to resign from the brokerage industry when it got too bureaucratic and start up a company that you were involved with and helped us with, and James helped finance, which was Alamos Gold. Acquired the Molasses deposit from Placer Dome and went on to sell half of it to Alamos Gold and eventually put it in production. I guess the same thing here with the property we have here. I call it rummaging in the trash cans of the majors. The Alamos, the Molasses was done in 2000 during that gold collapse, and the Red Hill property we acquired during 2008-09 during that collapse. And Roger Steiniger, as I already mentioned, is well known in Nevada. We have you want the corporate side. Danny Lee is former vice president of administration, chief financial officer of several major corporations. We were able to attract him. Frank is our investor communications manager. What else can I say?
Nothing else other than, again, official notice on April the 19th, Big Al purchased shares of New Legacy Gold. I think you have a rough idea after hearing what Albert had to say why I did that. I want to stress one thing. Don't construe this as investment advice in any sense of the word. Not a solicitation to buy, not a solicitation to sell. Going to be right back. Stick around.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of my pillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented my pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to FakeTV.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. FakeTV.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
I have a lady on the line with me who was introduced to me by Jeff Dice down at the Mises Institute. Her name is Carmen Dorobot. Carmen is in the UK, so this is very definitely a remote, to say the least. I was introduced to Carmen and her work. She is a PhD economist. She's at Trinity University. I believe her husband, who also is a PhD economist, is at Trinity also.
He's actually at Manchester. Yeah.
Okay, I have to say one thing, and that is this will be an interesting conversation to have. Carmen wrote a missive that Jeff and Mises put out talking about the ineffectiveness of economists working in the public sector, specifically for the federal government. Let's talk about that. How did you come to that conclusion, Carmen?
Well, there are various ways to come to that conclusion. First of all, if you understand economics in a particular way as trying to discover the truth of economic laws, then generally the conclusion you will be led to would be the inefficiency of a variety of government policies. So in a way, economics properly understood tends to point rather to the fact that the government is not actually doing anything to improve social welfare. So in a way, as an economist, if that is the kind of truth you pursue in your research, then working for the government in a way conflicts with that and wouldn't be like the logical choice to make.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, a lot of economists that do work for the government end up doing a certain kind of economics that doesn't actually, once again, like fit with the way economics should be done. Most of them are involved in making predictions about what the economy is going to look like, and particularly quantitative predictions, and have a variety of models. Because, you know, the market changes and the data changes all the time, there's absolutely no way in which you can make quantitative predictions for the future. So, in a sense, you know, their jobs in that respect are futile. And I also think that, you know, again, based on observations and recent experience, that a lot of economists do work for the federal government, not so much because they're interested in their quest for truth, or that they're misguided in knowing the power of economic predictions, but rather because they think it's a lucrative business. And again, they don't really care about the underlying truth of what they're saying.
And I think that was one of the main thoughts that I got out of your article, which, again, I'll say once more, I thought was very, very good. You know, when you talk about the federal government, or let's back up and let's call it the national government. When you talk about the government of a nation and you talk about social welfare, government certainly actually try to improve social welfare. I would have to say, though, that that's such a volatile subject, and it's a subject that certainly is not quantitative in any sense of the word. I personally think that is an area that government really should stay out of. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so first of all, the concept tends to be fairly vague right now. Are we talking just about like economic welfare, or are we talking about other aspects that include, you know, health, education, and sometimes there's discussion about economics and happiness and so on. But as a rule, you can see that governments, by the way that they're funded and the way they're operating, they're actually, what they're doing is they're diverting economic resources from their original uses, which have been, would have been decided by consumers in the market, and they employ them in into different uses. So they collect the taxes, and then the government spending goes to channels that they deem to be more accurate to be spent on than the consumers would. So once you realize that, then you realize that actually government spending is actually being channeled to areas where consumers would not have channeled those resources, which is why the government needs to intervene and do it. And as a result, it means that government is actually not contributing to consumer welfare, because if it would have been contributive to consumer welfare, consumers would have done them themselves.
What is the feasibility, the possibility, I guess I should say, of in our society today, in our present day society, whether you're in the UK or whether you're in the United States or whatever, what is the theoretical or the actual reality of consumers being able to choose what they want themselves? Now, I know that's a very, very big, big issue with the Mises Institute. It's also a very big issue with Al Corlin, who is a real supporter of Mises, libertarian, et cetera, et cetera. But what do you think the chances are, Carmen, of that actually happening in society?
Well, I mean, consumers do have, you know, a wide range of choices in a lot of sectors, you know, in a lot of, like, consumer goods, we have great choices, and in a lot of, like, of the technological aspects. But there are indeed some very crucial sectors where consumers indeed have very little to no choice. I think the first example I would mention would be, you know, here in the UK, as far as healthcare is concerned, because healthcare in the UK is nationalized. So there's no way of opting out from contributions to the national healthcare system. Education tends to be another very sore point in a lot of nations where education is institutionalized and run by the government, where, again, you have very few options about homeschooling or private schools and so on. Again, there's varying degrees between countries as well, but these sectors tend to be the most hampered. And obviously, all the main sectors where government has a complete monopoly over services, such as defense or justice and so on, that's where consumers have very little choice. They're basically forced to put up with whatever the government decides to be best in those sectors.
And oftentimes, I have to say, being as involved in politics as I am, and I'd have to say pretty well informed when it comes to politics, I would have to say that our government in the United States, in my opinion, is really not doing a very good job in terms of that. I think that your comments, your examples, I should say, Carmen, bringing in, you know, medical care and bringing in education, I think are spot on. People really, for the most part, have no choice in terms of education, and the National Teachers Union in the United States really is doing everything in their power to try and prevent school choice from becoming a reality. And I personally, knowing quite a bit about public education, know that that is a huge mistake. Any comments on that one?
Yeah, well, I guess it all comes down to the way government operates. I mean, government is a monopoly and they on various areas, and they try to monopolize many of the areas where they operate. The idea would be that they try to protect themselves from competition. Allowing choice for consumers, allowing private companies to operate in sectors like healthcare or education would probably lead to consumers migrating from the state system to the private sector completely. So therefore, you know, the private schools, for instance, would have no students anymore. So that's the kind of results that they don't want to see, and that's why they impose so many restrictions and rules and regulation, and it's all to stifle competition from the private
sector. Government actually is very obviously operating in its own best interest, and it really, when I say in its own best interest, politicians are obviously obviously pushing the agenda of whom they get their money from, their contributions from. Let's talk about the National Education Association, for lack of better terms. One of the reasons we have such a poor educational system in the United States is because the NEA is an incredibly large donor to the federal government. And you know what? The squeaky wheel, the big donor, gets all of the grease. And that's one of the problems I would have to say with education in the U.S. And now certainly also with, I would have to say, in the area of, what's the word I'm looking for here? Education and certainly medical care, for lack of better terms. We have about 1 minute left, Carmen. Just wrap up everything that you're trying to say, would you?
Yeah, so just relating to your very last point, the idea would be, as you were saying, so the interest groups definitely have a great importance in the way government policy is run, and they do have their say, and the funds that they put in political campaigns tend to weigh very heavily towards decisions that are favorable to themselves. But also, in general, I think these sectors tend to do very poorly because the connection between the provider of the service and the consumer of the service is completely broken whenever it's a service provided by the government. Private schools will get their funding from the government, but they're actually responsible to students and parents. But the students and parents cannot actually hold them accountable and, withdraw that funding if they wanted to, which would be the case, for instance, in a private school. If you were disappointed in the way the school would be run, you would be able to take your children and move them to a different school. And once that connection between the supplier and the consumer is broken, then the supplier has different incentives.
Exactly.
And they end up trying to appease the government or try to get funding through various ways, such as having the unions and rent seeking and so on, rather than serving the consumer. And I think that tends to be an endemic problem, as I said, across all sectors where the government runs these kind of things.
Dr. Dorbat, one of the best summaries I've ever heard in my life for free enterprise, for lack of better terms. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.